My name is Ian McKenzie, and I am here with Ivan McMahon, pronounced correctly, and Scott McKenzie, and we're down in Dublin, Ireland, and the date is Tuesday the 28th of May 2019. We're recording some oral history of YMCA in Ireland, and for part of the YMCA 175 event later this year. So, Ivan, thanks first and foremostly for agreeing to go on the record and record some of your personal experience and involvement with YMCA. So we're really keen to hear, I guess, where you started and how it started for you.
Sure. Thanks, Ian. It's a great pleasure to be here and to just share some of my personal story and some of my memories of this organisation. I suppose my first introduction to the YMCA was way back in the early 70s as a 16-year-old coming from Donegal, which is up in the northwest of the country, to Cork City with a part of a church team and being asked to give or share my faith story as something called the 830. And the 830, as I subsequently discovered, was a very, very important part of the YMCA story in Ireland, in that it tended to, I think all YMCAs of that grew up in Ireland had this meeting on Sunday evenings after most people had gone to perhaps two church services. There was this ecumenical gathering, as we called it, an interdenominational place, where people from all sorts of faith backgrounds came together and found some sort of unity in the YMCA. I was amazed because as a 16-year-old, I had never been asked to share my faith story in a non-church environment before. I was very nervous, and yet I just was amazed that these people took a risk with me. And that's been, I suppose, my experience of the organisation ever since. It's about taking risks, and it's great to see that how that's reflected today with how we provide opportunity for young people to step out of their comfort zone and take risks in different ways, whether that's in public speaking, whether that's in leadership, whether that's in community service. But that was my first recollection of the YMCA way back in the early 70s.
And do you remember that day vividly, or is it a memory of sort of...
I do remember it vividly because of the smells in the room. YMCAs were always very, it seemed to me, took a lot of pride in their buildings. And I remember to this day the smell of the linoleum that was highly polished. And I also remember a lovely old gentleman at the door welcoming me with a rose in his, and I thought, this is a very strange place, but those two smells stay with me. So it isn't just a sort of memory I've come up with, it's stuck with me over the years. Yes. I suppose fast forward, my next engagement with the YMCA was, I was a research student in University College Cork, and I was asked to do some research for Cork YMCA. They had basically come to a hiatus in their traditional work, and they felt that there was a need to look at new needs in the community. And so the National Council of YMCAs had found some small bit of money from the National Youth Work Organ, from the Department of Education, as it was in those days, to do some research. And I was commissioned to do, I think it was a 3-month piece of research around the needs of unemployed young people, which I did, and I submitted it. And about 6-9 months later, the National Council of YMCAs, at that stage, the acting national secretary was a guy called John Duncan. And he came back to Cork YMCA with some funding that they had got on the basis of the research I'd done to look at setting up a drop-in centre for unemployed young people in Cork. The job was advertised. I went for it. I was a youth worker stroke general secretary. I initially said no. I didn't feel it was for me. The interview panel came back and said, give me 3 days to think about it. I did. I had a couple of interesting conversations with people. I came back and said, okay, I'm not sure I've got all the skills, but if you feel I have got some of the skills, then I'm prepared to take a risk for, it was a 1-year contract, and that was in March 84. So for the next 5 years, I worked as youth worker general secretary, and it really was about re-establishing the YMCA in Cork. Interesting. When I started, I had to spend 3 weeks as part of my induction in Belfast YMCA. At that stage, Joe Campbell was the youth worker in charge, and I spent 3 weeks just shadowing him and just immersing myself in the particular style of youth work that was happening in the city of Belfast. And at that stage, I was in Wellington Place in the city centre. It was a wonderful experience, heavy-duty stuff in terms of the type of young people we're working with, and yet the way in which the faith of the staff and the volunteers was reflected in the love and the acceptance of young people. And as a part of that, I spent some time visiting Bangor YMCA, Carrickfergus YMCA. It was interesting, Carrickfergus YMCA at the time had a thing called Youth Inquiry Service, which had been imported from Scotland. I thought this is a really interesting model of youth information, as it became later known. That was one of the ideas I brought back to Cork, which we subsequently introduced in Cork YMCA. I suppose that sense of being a part of an organisation that wasn't just local, it was a national organisation. And so from my very early days, I always felt, yes, I'm employed in Cork YMCA, but I'm a part of a national movement. And that's been very important to me ever since, and indeed after that discovered that it was a bigger organisation, an international organisation, because thinking back to, I think one of my first meetings of the national board, which we had in those days, it was in Portadown YMCA, it must have been late 84. YMCA Ireland, National Council of YMCA of Ireland, had only recently broken from Great Britain and Ireland. Up until that, there was a single national council. But in 82, 83, I think it made the split and Ireland became an independent YMCA. So that was an interesting experience of being in a room of people who had hundreds of years of experience between them and feeling the newbie in town, feeling really uncomfortable. My lack of knowledge, my lack of experience. And yet I suppose it was still a very warm environment where you're okay to ask questions, and asking questions of how you grew and learned things. And I think that's been another important part of this organisation. We are prepared to hopefully embrace newcomers, and we don't become a clique. Mm. So that international and that national has always been a part of my experience, and there's lots of different examples of that over the subsequent years. But I think it's one of the strengths we have. And certainly within an Irish context, the fact that we work on an all-island basis of National Council is quite a unique feature of our organisation. As far as I know, we're the only National Council of YMCAs in the world that encompasses two jurisdictions. And that presents lots of challenges, but I also believe presents lots of opportunities for us. And it's something that certainly in my time in senior management, something that I've been very passionate to try to maintain those links and try to nurture those links so we can learn from each other. Because in an Irish context, there aren't that many opportunities for people in North and South to actually develop real deep friendships, and where you can really get underneath the surface and getting to know people and explore sensitive issues. And that has been, I suppose, an important part of this movement's vitality, and the way it has remained relevant is that it has been prepared to go into places that perhaps others have been reluctant to go. And an example of that is, I think, in the 90s, we got involved in a whole experience called Crossings, which is about trying to explore what it means to be an anti-sectarian organisation on this island. I think that was there have been many formative experiences in my own professional and personal journey in this organisation. But I think a Crossings journey was something which was quite profound, because it got us into a space where, as I said earlier, the old 830, which brought together people from various church traditions, mostly from the Protestant church traditions, I'd have to say. But the 90s, when we began to look at how do we position ourselves, what is our mission in a modern Ireland? And we went back into this whole area of looking at diversity and looking at how can we become an inclusive organisation. And there were so many, the number of residentials where we had people from a whole range of different faith backgrounds. I remember a lovely, still with us, thankfully, Kitty DeLay from Bantry, a Catholic lady who had a very strong personal faith, and her being able to sit down in residential over a weekend with a Free Presbyterian from Ballymena. And that was, and she still talks about this as one of the most amazing opportunities she's ever had. And out of that journeying together, discovering that behind the label we had real very important things in common, and that was around faith and justice, that we were being called not just to speak about God's love for, but it was to show God's love in actual real terms in young people's lives. And I think that that journey, which wasn't easy, with lots of people who had all sorts of issues, but I think it was the pace of it and the inclusive nature of it, and the fact that there were potential, there were opportunities created to develop real relationships, brought us to a place where we became, I think, the first organisation to become an anti-sectarian organisation on the island. And that has remained very close to my own personal journey because of the faith background I come from, and it tends to be quite exclusive and quite closed. And so I had to journey myself and question some of my own assumptions about faith and theology. And that's can be an uncomfortable place, but because it happened in a context of relationship and where it was a safe space, it just transformed me as a person. And I suppose that's my own personal story, but I could see that in lots of staff and young people's lives that come in contact with this organisation. This isn't just about some sort of a professional engagement and you just go home at more or less the same person you started at start that day. You go home transformed in terms of your theology, but also how you view people and how you view society and how you view the injustice in society. So this organisation really impacts on the whole person. So the old body, mind and spirit that is the heart of it, I can testify that it is... It goes reaches parts that other organisations don't reach. Yeah. And sometimes I think that is something we need to be proud of and celebrate and also humble that that's a huge responsibility that we have as an organisation.
Amazing, incredible. And even just hearing those stories of transformation of individuals and through relationship is something that continues to happen. Even for people who are relatively new, like myself, to the organisation. Mm-hmm. And I know we use the word journey quite a lot, especially in a country like ours, but very much takes you on a journey that is unexpected, and but also embracing at the same time, because it does bring you to spaces and places with people that otherwise you would be unavailable.
Yep,
to you. So really interesting, really interesting. In terms of the north and the south, mm-hmm. and even so you're talking about that particular piece of work, is there any other pieces of work that would have similar mm-hmm. traits of impact of YMCA and its place in it?
Sure. Yeah, I think another important expression of our cooperation on the south was a thing called Bridge of Hope. Bridge of Hope was a major initiative taken in the mid-80s. And again, it's sort of a little cameo of how this organisation as a part of a wider organisation benefits from those linkages. Ireland in the 80s, early 80s, mid-80s, was north and south, was a pretty dismal place for young people. Not only did we have huge issues of violence in Northern Ireland, but throughout north and south, unemployment was huge, 30-40% youth unemployment in parts. And the YMCA, certainly in Cork and Carrickfergus, North Down, Bangor, Belfast, would have begun to experiment with drop-in centres as a place where young people could at least get some headspace away from home, play some pool, play some table tennis, some darts, whatever it might be, as a way to relieve the boredom, to meet friends, hopefully interact with some YMCA volunteer staff. But it became quite clear that for some of us, that really the drop-in approach, while it was useful, for many of these young people, they were caught almost in a cul-de-sac, in that they couldn't find any way out of this unemployment mm-hmm. Cycle that they were in, and that many of them had left school early, many of them had poor, lovely low levels of education, many of them had issues around authority, dealing with justice, health issues, and they weren't able to access many of the training interventions that were around both parts of the island. A former National Secretary at the time, a guy called Sir McLenny, originally from Donegal, like myself, he met with the National or the General Secretary, the CEO of Chicago YMCA, a guy called John Casey, at a European YMCA event. I think it was in Helsinki, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But they struck up a conversation. John Casey was a first generation Irishman. He was now at that stage CEO of the world's largest YMCA. He had a real passion for Ireland. He was carried an Irish passport. He was very proud of his Irish heritage, was very much in touch with what's going on in Ireland, and knew the pain of unemployment from his own family background. Searle and he got into conversation and said, look, how can we use the expertise of the YMCA Chicago, the YMCA USA, around how can we help Ireland and the Irish YMCA? Out of that came a commitment from John to find resources to help fund a major research study into the effects of youth unemployment in Ireland, North and South. And this was given the title of Bridge of Hope. And that title was carefully chosen. It wasn't just go through all the... It was because that central to the YMCA was the notion of hope. And secondly, was this idea of bridge, that we would be a bridge north and south. We'd also be a bridge between different resources to young people. So it was a well thought through term. It was the first major study that was carried out on youth unemployment in both parts of Ireland. There were bits in the north, bits in the south, but looked at the similarities. And the issues were similar, not surprisingly. It was very similar. And that was carried out by a lady called Claire Curry. And that was an important piece of work, because out of that research came the second part, was that how do we respond as a YMCA, given our strengths and the fact we know these young people. These are not just young people in abstract. These were real live young people we knew, whether it was in Belfast or in Cork or wherever. And that came led to a number of interventions. A few of them were called Interchange. Interchange was a program trying to use YMCA overseas in UK and in America and in Canada to find work placements for young people, because one of the issues we found from the research was a lack of quality work experience. There are so many unemployed young people and they couldn't find quality work experience. So how do we find those opportunities for young people using international contacts? So there were links with Norwich and with Chicago and with Estes Park. And there was one in Canada as well, I can't remember the name of. So that was one program. Then there was another issue we identified, was the issue of young people leaving Ireland to go to the UK in particular, who had made no preparation. So in Cork, for example, we had young people who on a Thursday picked up their dole of whatever it was, 30, 40 pounds, got what's called a slattery's bus for 25 pounds that afternoon, and found themselves in London on the Friday morning with the name of a friend on the back of a cigarette packet. And that was a very common experience. And we said, look, how do we use the YMCA network to prepare those young people in Cork before leaving, and to make them and then to have some contact with them while in London? So that led to a program called Youth Mobility. And so we had links with a number of YMCAs in the London area, called Romford and in Wimbledon in particular. And that was just a great example of how the YMCA could harness those linkages and those network and put it to the benefit of young people. And so we had hundreds of young people who benefited from that over a number of years. The third main part of that Bridge of Hope initiative was a program called STEP, Support Training Enterprise Program. And that was piloted in Cork and in Belfast in 88. That tried to provide a holistic range of supports to young people. And that proved to be a very successful pilot. We were able to access European Social Fund monies here in the Republic and in the North for a period. It lasted in the Republic, still going on in the Republic 31 years later. It's evolved and grown, but it tries to work with each young person as they are, trying to develop a career plan, trying to help them deal with any obstacles in their lives that prevents them accessing training or employment. And again, that suite of stuff came out of that international contact. Yeah. And I suppose it's an example of how we benefit from being a part of the international movement, and then how North-South, certainly during the first 3 or 4 years of the STEP programme, we would have regular conferences for our staff who were involved to share their learning. And that was a really important way of building those bridges north and south.
Yep. And a big part of YMCA is obviously those relationships that are formed over years, and often through unexpected happenings or interactions. And have you any, or I'm sure you've made friends through the years of your time at YMCA, and do you have any, is there anything significant for you, or has there been any that have carried on over time that are still, that maybe were formed years previously, or do, would you have anything to share?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's that opportunity that YMCA creates for fellowship and for engaging around issues. And I suppose it's very easy when you're at the coalface to get caught up in the problems and issues that you're presented with. It's when you go at a national, international level, you begin to get a fresh perspective on your homework. And that, to me, as I keep saying to staff, is it is difficult travelling to this conference or that conference. But in both in the journey to that place with colleagues, it opens up all sorts of conversations. And some of the most exciting, stimulating conversations I've had have been some of those journeys to the actual event. Even though lots of memories of linkages with the Jugendorf in Germany in the early 90s and long train journeys across Germany with colleagues. And yet some of those were really formative for new staff joining, for those of us who were with the organisation for a few years, because they helped get into, as I keep saying to staff, to help us to find true north again. It's very easy to get diverted. And those journeys, as well as the conference or the event, whatever it might be travelling to, were important, absolutely, because not only do you see things from an Irish perspective, but then you see it from a German or from a Swiss perspective. And you begin to realise this organisation is so diverse. We are unique in that we respond to the needs of our young people in so many different ways. We're not McDonald's. We are amazingly organisation, because we are locally driven. And yet we say we're nationally significant, and that is a part, and that's a part of our uniqueness, in that we are about responding to the needs of young people in Londonderry or in Donegal or in Cork, and those young people's needs are different, and we're able to respond appropriately to those needs, and I think that's a part of. So go back to your question. Yes, I have lots of memories of conversations, and they've been important in keeping, as I said, keeping us focused on what we're about. And I said it is easy to get diverted by funders' agendas and other people's agendas, but I think it's that fellowship, that sense of colleagues questioning you, challenging you, being able to force you to articulate why you're doing it this way, brings clarity to one's practice and one's thinking process. And I think that's, again, we take pride in Irish YMCA talking about being a learning organisation. And to me, a learning organisation is about being able to learn from our mistakes, being able to learn from the things that we get wrong. We're far from perfect. And there's a famous quote from an English YMCA historian that talks about that we are far from being a perfect organisation, but by the grace of God, we continue to struggle to become what we might become. Mm-hmm. And I think that, to me, gives me great pride to be a part of an organisation that is willing to put up her hand and say, look, I think we got it wrong there. Let's think about what we can learn from that situation. And in that situation, I think it creates space for our staff and our volunteers to take risks. It goes back to my earlier comment that is an important theme of our work in Ireland. We are prepared to take risks for young people.
Tell us a little bit about your role now, National Secretary. How did you end up in that role? How long have you been working in that role? And what do you see in terms of the organisation has been some of the significant things that have happened in your time?
Okay. I've been in this role just over two and a half years. I took over from Stephen Turner and had been Deputy National Secretary for period from 2000 up until 2016. I suppose it's been an amazing privilege to be in this role and to work based in the Republic, but covering the whole island. That makes the job doubly difficult, doubly challenging, but also really exciting, because I think it's being able to learn from colleagues in the North and being able to hopefully they may learn some of our from our experience in the Republic. So in being able to move north and south and work at a close level with staff, that's been an amazing opportunity. Working with a senior staff team that's drawn from both parts of the island, and our general secretaries who meet 4 times a year on all island basis, they're really enriching experiences. It's been such a privilege just being a part of those teams. And learning from each other, challenging each other, and understanding that behind the politics and the differences, there are so many similarities, and that we are together committed to the same ideals, the same principles, and that there's an amazing, in spite of the different type of program we operate, that in terms of our model of how we interact with young people and the importance we see of involving young people in decision making, there's an equal commitment north and south, and so. In spite of perhaps our political context, where there's potential for greater divergence in the future, I think it's a real opportunity for the YMCA to journey closer and closer together so we can learn from each other and be countercultural, because I think in an Irish context where there's no political agenda, we would just want to learn from each other as neighbours. That's a very powerful statement. And that goes right back. The YMCA recently, former General Secretary there shared a picture of one of these lovely gilded framed pictures of very serious looking men, about 24 of them, at a General Secretary's, All Ireland General Secretary's being held in WMCA in 1922. In 1922 in Ireland, we were, the Free State had just been formed. It was the first year of our independence as a nation in the Republic, and it was a time of a year after the partition of our island. The YMCA, that was quite a courageous thing for those general secretaries north and south to do. It was making a statement that we predated the border. We were here since 1849, and we are beyond the border. And that was really inspired me when I saw this picture a couple of years, reignited that passion. About trying to create a space for people where they feel comfortable, where there isn't a political agenda, where we can learn and share from each other. So that's been a real privilege, part of it. The other thing is seeing our young people, and even in this building a few Saturdays ago, we had a meeting of our fledgling youth forum, and where we heard the stories of young people as they shared their experience with the organisation. In very, very different contexts, and yet there was a common threads and language that was emerging. And they made a presentation to the executive at the end of it. Sometimes at the governance level, you wonder, yes, governance is all about compliance. It's very, very important in the modern world. But I thought it was a lovely just picture of how our trustees and our directors of the company were able to hear from young people and their experience of this organisation. And it was just a very powerful moment where... you could have heard a pin drop in the room, because they were in awe of what these young people were saying, and made their work, hopefully, it brought added value to their work. That putting in place all the important governance structures and et cetera, is there for a reason, but ultimately we're about serving young people. And that's, I suppose that's what's kept me fresh, yeah, in this organisation for the last 35 years nearly, that it is about keeping young people's needs at the focus.
And just for the sake of recording, we're in the Irish Bible Institute building here in Foley Street in Dublin. And what about the links with organisations such as this organisation? As I understand it, it's used quite a bit, or has been. And is there, so the YMCA in Ireland, does it have links, strong links with other organisations? Is there any been over the years that have been significant or continued to...
We meet here for a number of reasons. It's very convenient to train stations, and that's the primary reason we meet here. But meeting here, we've got to know a little bit about their work, and that's been valuable. There's always a danger of the YMCA, because of our scale, becoming a bit of an island mentality, that we reach a certain scale, we don't necessarily need other organisations in some way, perhaps smaller community organisations might. And that's a risk, that is a danger to the YMCA. And we can argue that the international leagues counterbalance that to some extent to do, but I'm also a great believer in having organic links with our organisations or communities, whether that's around health or mental health, substance misuse, whatever it might be. We don't have all the answers. We've got to work interdependently with others. In terms of significant organisations we work with, certainly over the last number of years, we've worked very closely with Coromila. I think it's been an interesting journey, hearing their journey and some of their issues around how do we become better at advocating for causes, and particularly in our case for and with young people. I think it's a real challenge for us as we move forward. How do we engage young people in campaigning and lobbying around their issues? Not using them as a way to promote the YMCA, it's about how do we enable young people, support young people to be passionate defenders of causes that they believe in.
And what is Coromila? Tell us a little bit in terms of organisation.
So Coromila is a residence centre and more based in the north coast of Ireland near Ballycastle. Mm-hmm. And it's very much committed to breaking down the barriers between Catholics and Protestants in the island. So it's a very long history of peace building and it is well regarded in many quarters in Ireland, on the island north and south.
And then I suppose finally, unless you have any other significant branches that we want to explore, but in terms of where the YMCA is at present and maybe into the next 10 years, in terms of what we've talked about, in terms of its engagement with the community, with people north and south, in terms of the relevant issues for the times, what does the future of the YMCA look like from this present date?
Good question. I think the YMCA is well placed to play a really exciting role in both local communities and at a national level for a number of reasons. I think we have managed to keep the as an organisation that we're still driven by a belief in justice and faith, that we are clear about why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think we have managed to create safe spaces where people from different backgrounds can come together in spite of different labels that they feel at home in the YMCA. I think we have an amazing staff and volunteer teams in all our YMCAs who give so much of themselves. And I think it's incredible to see their commitment to young people. Yeah. And I think some of those ingredients mean that I think we're well placed. The next 10 years is going to be challenging, I think, as Ireland North and South becomes an increasingly secular society. I think the faith voice is going to be drummed out by lots of other competing voices, and that's okay. I think we have a role to play in both challenging society and challenging the churches about justice. I feel that at a time of from other countries where we've got people, societies have moved from being so-called Christian societies to sector to post-sector societies, that the churches have become marginalised and the faith's perspective has become marginalised. I think there's a real opportunity for the YMCA, in partnership with other faith-based organisations, to become more vocal in the public space about the intersect between faith, justice and action. And that's one challenge for us. I think that the other challenge for us is going to be how do we resource our work going forward. There's going to be a need to find new models of funding, and how do we do that without compromising the integrity of our work. And the third challenge is how do we engage young people in decision making in this organisation. There's a real push from many of our funders to move towards very business-based models of decision-making where you have experts making decisions. And I came from a meeting today where a funder has said, we don't trust young people to be involved as directors of a company. And that's a really frightening thought for us as a youth organisation, if this is a funder saying this in the public record. So we've got to find ways, meaningful ways of engaging people in decision making. And that's going to be a challenge for us. We have some small examples. I think we have some stuff in the City of Belfast YMCA and in their youth and government and the Republic through an initiative called Corlin and Nogue, or Regional Youth Councils, where we have, I think we have got some real expertise in our organisation. I think I see the germs of some ideas that may feed into a process that will lead to young people really engaging. Because this organisation, if it loses sight of young people and if it loses sight of why we do what we do, then we become an organisation that's lost its way.
Yep. Thank you so much. No, really, really great and exciting, as you say. Challenging, but exciting. And I think YMCA is uniquely placed. Do you have any addition to our interview here today?
No, I think it's great to be part of this process, and obviously the 175th anniversary of the organisation is amazing. The fact that in Ireland, this is the 170th anniversary of the formation of the first YMCA in Dublin, which is about 4 kilometres from here. It was actually, in its original incarnation, was only about a kilometre from here. So Dublin YMCA is the second oldest YMCA in the world. So that's a story to be told as well and celebrated, as well as the original foundation. But again, how the YMCA found its way from London to Dublin and within 5 short years is an interesting one, which I think needs further exploration. But it probably is a reflection of the time that Dublin, as part of the so-called empire, was the second city. It was a sign of its importance as a city in terms of that. But so I look forward some stage or some people being involved in trying to tell that story.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you, Scott, for helping us out today, and Ivan, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just.